Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 reads this way. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, calling upon you and thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to call on you to bless your word to us tonight. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, that we might understand the grace and the salvation that you've given to us in a greater way. And Lord, that we might truly serve you in your strength and power to your glory, Lord, and to the salvation of souls. May your Spirit work in each and every one of us in a way that would help people to see their need to have the same relationship that we have with you. And we'll thank you for that. Build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. Bless all of your churches and all of your people tonight. But Lord, we pray that we would hear from you tonight and that you would be highly exalted. And again, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is Things That Pertain Unto Life and Godliness. And so we want to consider a couple of thoughts tonight on the things that pertain unto life and godliness. And as we look to this, we want to realize, first of all, starting off, how are we to receive these things that pertain to life and godliness? How is this to work in our lives? Well, verse 1 says this, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to them, to believers, but specifically to them that have what? Obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's consider this word obtained. I've mentioned this, but it's revealing, really, in our understanding of how we get this that God has given to us. So there are two words here that we can consider. The word that's in our text, which is the word obtained with an O, and then there's another one that sounds just like it that's called attained with the A, but they're not the same. Attained, we can say this, with careful planning and hard training, we can attain the summit of Mount Everest. Anybody want to climb Mount Everest? It's not going to be given to you. We can carefully plan, we can carefully train, and I didn't realize how dangerous climbing Mount Everest really is. Because a lot of people die, and they stay up there until they can get them down. Somewhere at a certain point, if they run out of oxygen, they just freeze to death there. And so I'm not in a hurry to climb Mount Everest anyway. But then we can obtain, and we can phrase it like this. We are able to obtain entrance into heaven because of the grace of God that has been given to us. Obtained. You see the difference between attain? Attain requires effort on our part. Obtained means simply receiving what God has done for us. So one is by effort. The other one is a gift. Amen. The other one is given. You can obtain entrance into this building if I give you the key. You see the difference? I can give you the key. Now it's no work. I've got the key, right? God has the keys to life. Amen. And he wants us to understand and unlock everything that pertains to life and to godliness here on this side of eternity. So keep that thought in mind as we go through our text here, because that again is a revelation that God gives that really sets us free from carrying a burden that God never intended us to carry, and releases the power of God that is dwelling within you because of salvation. That is God's power in you. We know that we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and that's what releases the Holy Spirit. The faith that says, you've already given this to me, Lord. I don't have to do anything. I just have to turn the key and allow you to bless and believe that you will take care of this for me, for your glory and for my blessing. So how are we to receive this multiplied
grace and peace. Notice again here, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how are we going to receive this multiplied grace and peace? Well, through knowledge. But what kind of knowledge? The knowledge of our God, the knowledge of all that He's done and given for us that we have possession of right now. Oh, look at that. Amazing. God's already given it to us, and He's already done the work that is required for us to receive it. And so before Jesus Christ died on the cross, we look forward to by faith, right, the Old Testament saints. But now in the New Testament, we look back at what God has done for us. Not going to be done, but it has been done. And that's important as we work through these verses here. So notice verse 3 and 4. And we want to consider, how are we to receive this knowledge that God's divine power has given unto us, right? So notice verse 3. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, when was this done for us? So it says, hath given. Does that mean it hasn't happened or it has already happened? If already happened, He's already given it. See, listen, Peter is not just writing words to fill pages, to fill up the Bible. These are important truths that reveal to us the work that God has already done, that we might, by faith or trusting in the Lord, walk in these truths. So again, we look at this Word of God. Let me ask you this question. Does this apply to you and I tonight? So has God done this not just for Peter and not just for the disciples that Peter was writing to during his life, but He also wrote it for all believers in all times. And so all we need to do is see that God has already, I have the key. I don't know if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, but I can't remember if it was Faithful or Christian. I can't remember, but they wound up going off the path that God had told them to go on, and they wound up in, I can't remember the giant's name. Do you remember his name? Despair, Giant Despair. And he put them in the dungeon, and they thought, he said, I'm going to kill you. He says, you take your own lives tonight, or tomorrow I'm going to kill you. And every day for many days, He was flogging them. He was beating them with a stick, and they were miserable. And so that's what happens. It's a picture. It's an allegorical story that depicts the life and warfare of all believers. And so believers sometimes walk in doubt, and Giant Despair is and by the way, it was in Doubting Castle, and so Doubting Castle is not a place for Christians to live in, and that's where they were at because they went off of the path that God had called them into. And so they're saying, how are we can't take it anymore, how are we going to get out of this? And then all of a sudden, I can't remember if it was Christian or Faithful, it dawned on them, God has already given to us the key. And here it is right here. And guess what? It unlocks, you know how many doors in Doubting Castle? All of them. And that's how they were able to escape Doubting Castle. And how was it? It was the key of faith. And what does that mean? The key of faith that trusts in God's word, that He's already given to us these things, and we don't have to suffer these things because God has already delivered us. He is delivering us and will yet deliver us. So deliverance is in the business of God, right? Or it's God's business. So again, look at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So let that soak in. God has already given you and I everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's already been given. So you know what we need to do? Should we say this? Oh Lord, please, Lord, give me by your divine power all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is that going to honor the Lord? Oh Lord, would you give that to me? Please, Lord, give that to me. Lord, I'm going to spend all night tonight praying that you would give me. Or would this honor God? I praise thee, O God, because you have already given it to me. Now, which one receives the promises of God? The first one or the second one? The second one. I am going to praise the Lord that you have already given to me everything. That's faith. Now, the world looks at that and says, oh, I know what you're doing. You're going to talk yourself into believing this thing. And you know the power of positive thinking, that's not what we're talking about. That is a fiction in the mind of man. I mean, and you can motivate yourself to do some things, but the power of God is something that's outside of ourselves that God has provided for all of his children. And that's what God wants us to tap into and to prove God in. Lord, today, I'm going to walk by your grace. I'm asking you, Lord, to fill me with your spirit that I might walk in what you have already given me. And I praise you for that. That's the way to start off the day. Amen. And then watch what God will do. And by the way, thank him when you see it. Right? Lord, thank you. I know I would have failed in that area lest you would have intervened and provided your strength for me in my life. And okay, so we find here that this has already been given to us, and he's called us, already has called us to glory and to virtue. So we listen, where do we begin our walk with? How do we begin our walk? Are we trying to achieve the promises of God? Are we trying to get to the promised land, or do we start from the promised land? We start from the promised land. Why? Because God has brought us into his promises by salvation. And so we go from victory unto victory. We don't go from failure to victory. We go from victory unto victory that way, because God is the victory. Amen. God has given to us the victory. So look at verse 4. Whereby are given, once again, these are already done, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things that have already been given, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, this is past tense already, the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped that already. Because of us or because of Jesus? Because of Jesus, right? Amen? So we need to just look at the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm going to believe what you've said. I'm not going to believe what the world is saying. I'm certainly not going to believe what the devil is saying. I'm not even going to listen to myself if it's in contrast to your Word. I want to hold on to what your Word has said. And that is putting our faith and trust in what God has promised and what he has already given to these great and precious promises there in verse 4, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, there's only one thing that will keep us from the divine nature. Ourself. Unbelief, right? Remember in the book, I think you mentioned it in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 10, that God was not well pleased with the Hebrews that he brought out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land, because they were overthrown in the wilderness. And the Bible says because of unbelief. What was it that kept them out? Unbelief in God's faithfulness. They were doubting the Lord. We can't doubt the Lord. We can't doubt what he said and expect to enter in. We cannot be like a tumbleweed blown about by the... But was it last week? That wind came from every direction, wasn't it? That day that we had all that wind, it was coming out from the south for a little while, from the south, right? East a little bit, west, north. It was coming from all directions. And my goodness, if we were a tumbleweed, we wouldn't go in one direction that day. We'd have been all over the place. God does not want us all over the place. He doesn't want us to look to the world. He doesn't want us to look to ourselves. He doesn't want us to listen to the lies of the devil. He just wants us to go in one direction, and that is following him. Amen? Going towards him. All right. A couple more thoughts here. We want to consider the things that we can add because we believe God has already given to us this power that he's blessed us with. So notice verse 5. And beside this, because we have been given these exceeding great and precious promises, and that we can be partakers of the divine nature, because of that, and beside this, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to your patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. God says we can add all those things because what's already been given to us. Now, I can simplify that a little bit better. I would say this. I would say all these things are important and they're all correct. But Lord, guide me in your way today. Lord, I want what you've said that now can be added. Now that I've understand, now that I see you've given to me this divine nature, right? You've already made the purchase. You've already given it to me. I want you to add everything you want in my life. And I want everything rooted out that you want rooted out of my life. That's the best way to do it. And then, Lord, I thank you because that's your will. You want me to glorify you. And here's what I know. I can't glorify you. But you can in me. And so that's the way I want to walk. Two more thoughts here. Faith and lacking trust in God. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound. Now let me ask you this question. Why wouldn't they be in us and abound? Unbelief. Right? It's God's will. For if these things be in you and abound, all these things that he says add unto your faith. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren. We talked about being fruitful today. Nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if these things are in us and abound, then we understand the promises of God. They've been paid for, and they are for us for the asking. That's all we have to do. And then it requires faith to believe that you receive them. They've already been given. And God says, listen, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more, the Bible says, I believe it's in Luke chapter 11, maybe even verse 11, how much more will your heavenly Father give them the Holy Spirit that ask them? So God, in God's mind, well, let me ask you this. In God's mind, is the Holy Spirit important in the life of the believer? Amen. It's our power source. And so, Lord, help me to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit that you've indwelt me with. Because this life is passing away. And I believe God wants us to enjoy it, but never without him. Never without him. We can be fulfilled individuals and allow the world to see, you know, they've got something in their God that we don't have in all the things that the world has to offer. Listen, do you know why Moses forsook Egypt? He saw Christ's greater riches. And you know why we will forsake the world and the things of the world will lose its effect on us? Because God will show us as we seek God, will we find him? And when we find him, we will see Christ's greater riches. He wants us to see that. He wants to awe us with that. And my goodness, listen, as we're studying this tonight, as we're looking at this tonight, I'm in awe that God has done it all. I am in awe that it is already given. And you know what that gives me? Thank you, God, for giving that. You've already given it to me. Now, the only thing on my part is just to believe what you've done. I mean, that's not complicated at all. And then, Lord, I'm going to thank you for it. So how are you going to receive this for yourself tonight? Believe it and praise him for it. It's just that simple. That's believing him. That's faith in God. So he says, now listen, is he talking to believers? This is important. Is he talking to believers and is he wanting them to have possession of this? Does God expect a believer to walk in the grace of God, in the glory of God, in the power of God, in the strength of God? Is that God's will for every believer? Okay, is there anything complicated in that we don't understand? Okay, because he's getting ready to say something here that's very important, and it really has to do with our relationship with the Lord. Now watch this. Let's put 8 and 9 together. For if these things be in you and abound, these truths, these things that God has already given and done, they make you, those things that God has done for us, they make you, verse 8, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means when we abide, we're going to bear fruit, we're going to bear more fruit, and we're going to bear much fruit. Is that the truth? Now watch this. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, and he's not talking about the world, he's talking about believers. Believers that lack these things, and he's not saying it because believers can't lack these things, he's saying it because they shouldn't lack these things, but they can. But he that lacketh, the believer, you could say, that lacketh these things is what? Blind. You can't see. But I thought Jesus Christ came to give us sight. Amen? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So every believer that is naive or ignorant to these promises and these provisions that God has made for each and every one of us, God says, I'm not happy with them. Can we forget what Jesus has done for us? Does God want us to forget that? He wants us to walk in that, doesn't he? He wants us to enjoy that. All right, last thought here. So we can either trust the provision that God has made and we will abound, or we can be ignorant of these things and be blind. We can make the two choices, right? It has nothing to do with effort on our part to receive these things. These have already been given to us, right? The grace of God purchases everything that we have been promised. And not even purchased. It's already given it to us. It's even better than that. We have it. It's not like you've been given $1 million and now you need to go buy these things. These things that we need have already been purchased. And so here's the last thought here. This is what we can have if we choose to use faith in our God. If we choose to trust in what he is saying right here. He says this, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, in other words, don't lack these things. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So if you do what things? Believe that the Lord has provided these things. And then he says this in verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says, this is why I don't neglect to put you always in remembrance. So let's just look at that last verse, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Now, this is not the first time I've ever preached on this topic, is it? In fact, you would probably say, I think you preach on that all the time. All the time. Why would I preach on that all the time? Well, first of all, because that's where God's leading me. And secondly, really would be firstly, that's where the grace and power of God is in our lives. God does not want us operating in our strength and failure. God wants us to operate. And by the way, when I mentioned this morning about the young people that we've seen come and go, I'm not saying that we did that was to no avail in the sense of maybe somebody got saved. I hope so. But that's not the kind of salvation that God wants in the lives of the next generation that just kind of comes for a year or two and then wanes away. He wants the kind of salvation that keeps working in our lives and growing to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can't give that if we don't have possession of that. And here's where we do business. Ready? We evaluate what we are when nobody else is around. We evaluate by the word of God what we think and what we want. And so what are we thinking? I pray we're thinking, Lord, I'm thinking about what you've just told me. And I'm wanting you. I want to experience that in my life for your glory and my blessing. And the added blessing on that is the world will see your relationship with the Lord in such a way that they'll say, I want that. I don't want to just have my sins forgiven. That's a wonderful thing to want. I do want my sins forgiven, but I want the life of Christ on this side of eternity. And that's what's going to cultivate, because that's going to be God working in our lives, and that's what's going to bring the next generation in as we share the gospel with the power of God to where they're just not going to listen. I'm not impressed, and I hope you aren't either. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have tried to do what we did, but maybe we ought to contemplate, maybe we didn't do it God's way in bringing in the next generation. To me, I'm not impressed with seeing people come for 3 or 4 or 5 years and then quit and not have anything more to do with church. I'm just asking you to ask yourself this question. How many young people that came in through a bus ministry that were brought in, do you know that are still in church and seeking and growing in the grace of God? I believe there are some, okay? I believe there are some, but not the way God would have it. I think God would have everyone that would be saved to grow in his grace and to be in the church that they were led to the Lord in, unless they move somewhere else, but to grow. And that's how the church is built. But God is going to start with you and I first. And we need to be serious about God's work in our lives, or we can't expect it to work in anybody else's life. So, and it's never too late. So, Lord, let me see these things take place in my life where I'm by myself. When I'm just dealing with you and I, Lord, where am I at? And that's what I want to see you do. So don't misunderstand me. Don't try to do it yourself. Call on the Lord to do what he says he'll do. Call on your Abba Father that loves you. He loves you if you're a child of God. And listen, he's just waiting for us to say, that's what I want to see in my life. What's that? What you promised God. What you've given to me, Lord Jesus. What you've indwelt me with, the Holy Spirit, right? That you might be honored and glorified where? In our own lives. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your word, your knowledge, your understanding that you have given to us, even tonight, more insight, Lord, on what you've provided. May we by faith believe that you've already given it. Lord, may we by faith call on you to perform the promises in our lives for your honor and glory and our blessing. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.